Past Life Radio, getting it up for you this morning. Roll over onto your wife right now and do her. That's my suggestion. That's what it's all about. Girlfriend, you got two or three in bed? Go for it. Well, Frick Show is the name of this show. We come to you at this time every morning, bringing you the breakdown on the global Frick situation. And you know, the French are constantly getting slammed in the world press and by the American Anglo-Saxon terrorists. And, for example, in the UK, they got a problem over there because they privatized the healthcare system. And as a result, they got the superbug, the MRSA superbug. You see, a while ago, when Britain still followed the European model of good cultural, good clean living, they didn't have this problem. But they sold off the cleaning services and the hospitals to private contractors. And, of course, they go down to the path of competition versus cooperation. And as a result, the whole system broke down, and people now get these hospital staff infections, and they're dying. So now, after a few years of these MRSA superbugs, they've got a new strain of bug, which is even worse than the MRSA bug. It's killing more people in Britain because they're slavishly addicted to the Anglo-Saxon killer capitalist model. But what do they call it? C. difficile. C. point difficile. Now, if this isn't a left-handed slap in the face of the French, I don't know what is. You know, the 100-year war thing is still playing out between the French and Britain. And I think just recently we had the anniversary of Waterloo, actually.
It's today, actually.
Today is the anniversary of Waterloo?
Yeah. Something. Yeah. Maybe last week.
Yeah, it was. It's happening. And you got the French and the British are still at each other's throats. So in France, you know, they supposedly lost the 100-year war, except the quality of life here is about 5,000 times greater than that in Britain. And in Britain, they feel kind of bad about the way that things turned out, actually. They won the war, but they lost their soul. So when they get something bad happening in the hospital system, they try to deflect attention away from the crooks down on the House of Commons, like Blair and Brown and Charles Clark and... So they call the new superbug C. point difficile. They give it a French name, which I think is quite rude. Stacey Herbert here in the Frick Show. Stacey, can you believe it?
Do they really say that in the British hospital? C. point difficile.
Sorry, madam, you've got a case of C. point difficile.
Well, yes, it's apparently twice as deadly as the MRSA bug.
It's actually, they call it Clostridium. Clostridium difficile.
Clostridium difficile. Difficile. That's, I think it's a Latin word, isn't it?
Well, of course, it all comes from Latin, doesn't it?
We all do, yeah.
And, of course, MRSA, what do you think that stands for? Where does that come from? What's that an acronym from what?
That stands for Methicillin Resistant Staphylococcus aureola.
That's right. You win the Frick Show poster.
It's actually aureus.
You want to win a Frick Show poster? Send us an email, thefrickshow@gmail.com. We'll send you the brand new Frick Show poster.
All right.
How about that? The first.
It's limited edition.
Limited edition. The first three people who send us an email at email.
Email at thefrickshow@gmail.com. And then you too can sell it on eBay for thousands. Thousands.
Thousands for the collector's item for the Frick Show poster. Yeah.
Anyway, this whole thing, this MRSA, you know, all these superbugs in the hospitals.
Yeah.
It seems like it's some sort of, I don't know what the market term would be, but there seems to be a market there. Like, you know, the problem is that they're hiring workers, cleaners to come in for like $2 an hour. Hmm. And of course, they don't really give a poo about about cleaning, right?
Well, they leave all the poo on the instruments.
Yeah.
You know, they don't clean the poo away.
So you would,
are giving the poo, but they don't clean it away.
You know, it is a market economy in the UK. They should give you a choice of whether you want to pay an extra £10 to have the poo taken off your utensils.
Right.
Something like that.
Then you got to price it. It's not priced efficiently.
Exactly.
If you're going to abandon social policies in favor of pure market-related policies, you've got to be a little bit more strident and strict about pricing things.
Exactly.
Things have to be priced. So you should go in the hospital. Let's give you a menu and say, you want your streptococcus removed? That's going to cost you 10 extra pounds. You know, you want to take the chance you get streptococcus? And you're going to die from MRSA superbug or C. point difficile?
Oui.
Okay, you save 10 pounds.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, as we talked about on this show previously, if you go into the hospital and you're taking that chance and you might die from MRSA bug, go to a spread betting firm. over a Cantor Fitzgerald or IG Index or City Index.
Mm-hmm.
You do a spread bet against your own life because you might get super bug. And if you get the Supercaucus Superbug, at least your spread bet will pay off. Your heirs will win.
Supercaucus aureola.
Supercaucus aureola bug is running rampant through the UK NHS, the National Health Service, because they turned all the services over to private contractors. Mm-hmm. Like in Iraq, they turned all the war over to private mercenaries.
Yeah.
And of course, the mercenaries, they get paid to make war. So they're going to keep the war going.
Yeah.
You know, what do you think? Duh!
Yeah. Yeah, of
Dumbass.
Course. Yeah, they're getting paid a lot. And apparently a few of them are actually in jail right now because they shot up some American soldiers.
Yeah, because the spread bet on American soldier life on eBay and the Cantor Fitzgerald Index is going up.
Yeah, talk about civil war, though. Imagine that we could have a war taking place in Baghdad between American soldiers and American contractors.
That's right. Who would win that war?
Exactly. That would be exciting. And
Iraq's just going to sit back, get a nice, cozy lounge, easy boy lounge chair, get a big bag of popcorn.
Get some drink with an umbrella in it.
And just watch Americans kill Americans.
That would be fun.
That's like the My Lai incident.
Yeah.
Seymour Hersh, you know, he covered the May Lai or My Lai incident back in the Vietnam War, back in the late 60s.
Uh-huh.
And Americans were given, I guess, psychedelic drugs as an experimentation, and they started killing each other.
That's a great experiment.
So now that you got in Iraq, you got contractors at war with American soldiers. Over that last bit of...
What are they fighting over there,
by the way?
Oil.
The oil's all fecumped.
But
because it's now there's sand in the oil because all the oil infrastructure has collapsed on itself, so it's useless.
Yeah, but also for the Iraqi oil ministry is like trying to appease their American overlords, and they're pumping the oil too fast. Apparently, there's only like one oil field that's still operational because all the others are being blown up by insurgents or freedom fighters, whatever you want to call them.
Mm.
So they're pumping too fast, and apparently there's danger of sand forever destroying the oil. That'll be so beautiful.
The sand always gets in the way. It's like, you get sand in the way, you get sand in the Vaseline. So when Donald Rumsfeld is giving his press conference and he's stooping the American press corps, he's got some sand in the Vaseline, doesn't he? Now they got sand in the oil in Iraq.
Exactly.
It's screwing up the works.
Exactly.
So they got American contractors warring against American soldiers in Iraq. And now the Iraqis, what they were voting for when they voted for democracy was actually they voted for front row seats. This is what they hope to see. They want to see Americans killing Americans in Iraq. That's what they voted for. They get a big bucket of popcorn with the huge butter, simulated butter, genetically modified butter under genetically modified popcorn. You know, we talk about in Iraq when they put in the new laws under that guy Bremer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was like the first, investment banker to show up on the scene to try to privatize things.
Yeah, remember there was a guy before him, and he wanted to give the Iraqis like legitimate freedom.
Yeah, they got rid
and
of him.
They quickly got rid of him. Garner wasn't his name, something like that.
Who knows?
I think he's in the Bermuda
Triangle. He's working
at
Florsheim Shoes in Detroit, selling women's pumps. No one talks about him anymore.
No.
Yeah, so this guy Bremer. You know, they put in like some kind of quickie constitution or something.
Mm-hmm.
What do they call it? The contract?
The interim constitution.
Yeah, and in there it says that Iraqis, now this is where basically civilization, the cradle of civilization, it's the beginning of agriculture, it's the beginning of man's transition from the hunter-gatherer phase to the stationary societal phase.
Yeah.
And they've been working on cultivating seeds as part of the agricultural movement that's been going on for 10,000 years or longer. And so then this guy Bremer shows up from this upstart country, America, with this upstart company called Monsanto.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, well, you know, if you develop any new seeds or continue to use the seeds you've been developing for 10,000 years, it's against the law. You can only use seeds from Monsanto.
Exactly.
Good quality American seeds that are essentially eunuchs that you can only use once. They're disposable or they're eunuchs. They don't reproduce. They don't spawn more seeds.
Yeah.
So that means every year when you go to plant your crops, you got to buy more seeds.
From Monsanto. I think that's Article 13. So, I mean, you should really check that out. People don't believe it, but it's true. Probably that's why America, you know, famously they set up a military base at Babylon, like the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. Apparently they destroyed it. Obviously Monsanto was in there, like, taking the seeds and patenting them. And they don't want anybody else to have the real thing. So if you want the Hanging Gardens of Babylon in your own backyard, you just contact Monsanto on 0800-DOUCHEBAG.
Agri-crooks. Agri-crooked. You know, the Disney Corporation, they don't escape this frick show shellacking.
No.
We don't spare the cane. on Disney.
Okay.
You know, they're in the news.
As always.
Doing things that we're not too keen on.
Cultural pillaging.
You know, the French called the Euro Disney the cultural Chernobyl.
Do they?
When they launched it back there.
That's good. Cultural Chernobyl.
Yeah. So anyway, apparently Disney's gotten into some hot water there, or they're in the soup, so to speak.
Where? In Hong Kong?
Yeah, Hong Kong Disney.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're scheduled to open, and they're refusing.
Oh, they're serving shark fin soup.
Yeah, they're serving shark fin soup.
But they're now issuing a warning with it, saying that this could cause catastrophic extinction of the shark if you eat this bowl of soup, right?
You're participating in the demise of your species and every species on planet Earth, because we're all basically interlinked, no matter what those evangelical Christian blight might have you believe.
And yours for 99 cents.
So, yeah, they're in trouble with the World Wildlife Fund in Hong Kong because they're serving shark fin soup. You know, it's amazing. They come out with these Hollywood producers. They come out with these animated cute cartoons about fish, like Looking for Nemo.
Mm-hmm.
Or then they came out with Shark Tale. Wasn't that a... So they have all these cute sharks swimming around. And the kids are saying, oh, aren't these great little cute little sharks? They're being anthropomorphized. Anthropomorphized.
That's a good
word. Given human-like characteristics.
Mm-hmm.
So the kiddies can say, look, I want a pet shark. I want a pet little petty shark. Then at the same time, they're very sadistically and cynically serving up bits of the shark in soup to the same kids.
Yeah. What do they do with the rest
of
the shark?
So it's kind of like cannibalism, I think. It's cultural cannibalism in a way. You know, the kids are eating their own culture. They're eating themselves. They're eating their own, the byproduct of their own delusions are being served up to them in a hot steaming bowl of shark fin soup.
Well, that was like such a beautiful sentence.
And if it only made sense.
If
it made sense, it would have been even more beautiful.
Speaking of discontentment, did you see what's happening in Russia, the Russian army? Last week, in 1 week alone, 46 Russian soldiers, the equivalent of an average size platoon, died of non-combat related reasons. 8 of them committed suicide in 1 week, and several had to be shot by comrades to halt drunken and violent rampages. Like, how violent were these? Because, I mean, normally wouldn't you just shoot at the guy's kneecap or his arm, and then he goes, oh, okay, I'll stop going on a drunken rampage.
Yeah.
And so they had to kill several. Who knows how many several is, but it might add up to 40 in 1 week.
So when Iraqis get tired of watching Americans kill Americans, they can go to Russia and watch Russians kill Russians.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it sounds... Well, exactly. That's the wild mafia West that we're starting to see happen all over the world.
It's turning in on itself.
It's turning in on itself.
It's diminishing returns, as we say. The capitalist model is actually diminishing.
Yeah, well, the American dream only lasted about a week in Russia, it seems.
Yeah, the whole Yeltsin thing with the oligarchs, and they came in, they privatized, and the American dream and social mobility, and that didn't last long, did it?
No.
That's back to hardcore Stalin-esque, basically, autocracy.
Yeah.
But it's autocracy with a smile, you know, because instead of, like in China, they don't want you to be a slave to fixed-price, slave-esque, prison-esque kind of environment. They want you to be a slave to consumption.
Who? In China?
In China and in Russia, too.
Mm-hmm.
They want people to slavishly overconsume, to take on debt.
Yeah,
communism is now pushing debt as a way to exert state influence, because they understand, like anyone who runs a whorehouse, that if you get the prostitutes hooked up on debt and heroin, they're not going to leave, are they? So here the Chinese people are hooked up on debt and the heroin of overconsumption and their plasma screen TVs. So they're not going to leave. They want to keep consuming. They're addicted to consumption.
Mm-hmm.
The GDP growth goes up. The environment is the one that loses in the end, because this is what's collateralizing this whole fakakta global derivative market. And as that's crumbling and the bond market can't pay off the interest because the collateral, which is planet Earth, is crumbling, then of course the house of cards collapses. But the no goodniks that propagate the model are going to be off on Aruba somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this is also what they're telling the neoliberals are telling Europe. go into debt, go into debt, go into debt. You know, they're kind of like women. Women do this to each other. You know, if I'm feeling a bit fat, I'll encourage my girlfriend to eat a chocolate croissant. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Eat some, because mm-hmm. secretly you want her to be fat too. Mm-hmm. So it's mm-hmm. like the Americans telling their European cousins, mm-hmm. Go and spend more, buy more plastic, because of course we hate the fact that you live so well. We hate the fact that your women are so much more beautiful than ours. We hate the fact that your women can actually wear short skirts without anything
ride
hideous.
Ride bicycles in the middle of traffic with beautiful legs, completely exposed.
Yeah?
You know, you don't see that in New York, really. Not like that.
No.
I mean, a few bicycles, maybe.
No.
But you don't see like what you see in Paris.
Yeah, you only see Sarah Jessica Parker in New York. Her legs are too skinny.
Yeah, she's average looking, really, compared to the average ingenue on the Champs-Élysées.
Oui.
Vélon.
Oui.
A bicycle. How do you say bicycle? Vélon?
Vélon. Oui.
You know, with like a cotton shirt, open, breeze blowing through it, nipples rock hard. Saying, bonjour. You know, it's beautiful. Speaking of beautiful French women, let's talk about aloe crepes.
Who? Aloe crepes. Aloe crepes.
Aloe
crepes.
You don't say crepes. It's crepe.
Crepe.
Okay. Yeah, the S is silent, okay?
Okay.
Aloe crepe.
Okay.
Aloe crepe. Aloe crepe. That's right. It's in the 15th Arrondissement Mall. They got a great deal over there. For $7.99, for €7.99, euro cents, you can get either a galette and or a salad, plus a crepe, plus a boisson. And they deliver it to your house. They deliver it to your house. Between 5 and 7, it's free. Between 5 and 7 p.m., you get free delivery of a crepe to your house. $7.99, you get the whole formula. They're in the 15th Arrondissement Mall. You got to go check them out. The number here, give me the phone number. Write down this number. 01-42-79-05-42. That's Aloe Crepe. They'll deliver crepes to your house if you're in the 15th. They got a whole formula there. The formula for success.
So all those 5,000 people in the 15th, they're the only ones eligible for this.
You
got to
be
great
in like
deal.
A 3-block radius. Aloe crepe. They get a little motor scooter there, and they deliver it hot to your door. Hot piping crepes.
Hot piping crepes, and it is summer tomorrow, so that's exactly what you want.
You want a nice hot piping crepe to deliver to your door from Aloe crepe. Now, moving back to America, where you know the economy is crashing, and the senators are, you know, you can watch senators kill themselves in the Senate. You can watch American soldiers kill American contractors in Iraq. You watch Russian soldiers killing other Russian soldiers in various Russian military bases. You know, down in the Senate in America, you've got we talked about this guy Durbin last show. You know, we can touch on him again because. What he said was that Guantanamo Bay, he compared it to a Soviet gulag or the Khmer Rouge leader, Pol Pot. And, you know, he's making all kinds of wacky claims, according to the other senators who are quite disturbed by this comparison made by this other senator, Durbin. And, you know, it's caused quite a brouhaha.
Yeah, they're saying nobody has died in Guantanamo.
Uh-huh. And what about the American soul?
Wow.
That's dead.
That's profound.
Well, it's dead,
only,
isn't it?
Only from Paris can you say that, because here we have soul.
It's sad. It's sad, really, to see. We're going to be playing some Edith Piaf later if you forgot what soul's all about.
Exactly.
You know, she's got it. You don't. You know.
Yeah, so, but
even the black community in America has sold out to white hip-hop, so-called rap music. That's not soulful.
Well, this sounds like the argument that Michael Jackson used. You know, so I fondled the kids. There was no penetration.
Right.
America says, so we're molesting and raping and torturing these people in Guantanamo, but there's no death.
We
stopped just at the point of death.
That's okay, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, apparently it is in America. In
and,
the new
and
America.
And the guy who sanctioned it, Gonzalez.
Alberto Gonzalez, yes.
Now he's the attorney general.
Yeah. Yeah, and his office just encouraged more death by slashing the payout that the big tobacco was having to pay towards states.
Yeah, he fumbled the case purposefully.
Yeah, well, apparently the tobacco firms were willing to pay $150 billion towards re-education about
get people smoking in a more educated way.
Yeah, in a more educated way, but he slashed it down to $10 billion. So,
yeah.
Surprising everybody, including the tobacco firms, and now you won't know the truth.
Well, if you looked at the tobacco stocks back in the year 2000, before the 2000 election in America for president, you know, they started to move up after having down years under the Clinton administration.
Yeah.
And you could tell that the jig was up, that they would stop at nothing to get their boy into the White House.
Yeah.
And because you could, and they tell, you could say they had confidence. You know, stock markets tend to be a discounting mechanism. They can kind of figure out what's going to be happening in the near future, and the prices start to reflect that. And, you know, those tobacco stocks were rallying pretty seriously before the 2000 election because they knew that they had the money, the power, and Karl Rove and those guys to rig the election, manipulate the results, and get the tobacco firms off the hook. I mean, that's pretty much what that election was all about. Big tobacco coming back, and now with Gonzalez and the district attorney, the attorney general's office, basically that phase of American history is over. The tobacco companies won. The tobacco companies were able to rig an election, destroy democratic principles, put their one of their own in the position of attorney general, and perpetrate mass murder, you know, for profit. For profit.
Yeah. Well, speaking of perpetrating mass murder, did you see Philip Cooney, the guy who was found to have altered the climate change memos to George Bush?
Yeah.
He had to resign because, of course, he was found, you know, altering scientific information.
They caught him, so it must have been bad.
They caught him.
If they didn't catch him, it would have been okay.
Yeah, exactly. So he's a witch. Anyway, now he's at Exxon. He's joined Exxon.
Yeah, well,
literally the day after leaving the Bush administration.
Well, I think Exxon should probably change their name to Auschwitz. I think this would be a good name, a good rebranding of Exxon.
Yeah, yeah.
Who runs Exxon?
Lee Raymond. Yeah. By the way, we found out something about him. He is not a good Christian soldier,
what?
Is he?
What happened?
He's not. Well, because he says about this climate change theory, he's saying, you know what? Climate change happens all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And it happened many times before humans even were around.
How's that possible if Jesus and God created the earth?
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
He's
laying claim to something that goes against the Bible.
Exactly. So I think we should, gentlechristianmothers.com, they should go after this man, Lee Raymond, because
he's the devil.
He's saying
he's
climate
the Antichrist.
Change.
He's in league with the devil.
Yeah. He believes in all that stuff about the ice age and all that kind of crap.
Well, Exxon's going to escape all this Lee Raymond. Is that his name? Lee Raymond?
Lee Raymond.
Yeah, they're going to escape all the damage that he's doing to their brand. They're going to change the name from Exxon to Auschwitz.
Lee Raymond is a really good name, though. It sounds like a really blues kind of name.
I keep thinking of Paul Lee Raymond. Harvey Oswald.
There's also
somehow.
Oh, there's,
you know?
There's also
the guy
Paul
just
Raymond.
Has assassinations written all over him. Because you think about it, Exxon is basically what the capitalists did in the 40s in Germany to create the ultimate capitalist model, which is to create human as the product, as the human,
yeah,
and become
yeah.
the human assembly line,
yeah.
to turn humans into profits,
yes.
you know, by ransacking their teeth, their gold teeth, et cetera.
Yeah.
This is ultimately where capitalism always ends up if it's unchecked.
It always ends up fascist.
It goes to fascism. Fascism is pure capitalism.
Mm.
So here you got this guy at Exxon who, you know, they're taking the 40s model in Germany and they're applying it to the whole world.
Yeah.
Why should you just, you know, incinerate a few million when you can incinerate a few billion?
How
it's
much
like
more
Exxon
exciting.
Incinerating billions.
Who has the TV rights to that?
I think Lee Harvey Oswald.
NBC, obviously. They are owned by GE, the big military contractor, aren't they?
That makes sense. Making money, burning up the world's population one at a time.
Well, the Herald Tribune, you know, who are a big sponsor of Paris Live Radio here.
they were up until about 5 minutes ago.
No, on their front page on Friday, they were saying that American discontent is increasing, polls find. Bush approval rating has hit an all-time low of 42%. But Congress fares even worse. Remember, Congress has their next, the next congressional elections are in 18 months.
Yeah.
And their approval rating is just 33%. So three quarters saying Congress did not share their priorities. Well, that doesn't look good for the all those people who tried to save Terry Schiavo.
You know, as the deck chairs on the American Congressional Titanic are rearranged this next election.
Yeah.
And all the fingers point the other way. And there's another round of finger pointing. Let's not forget that in the real world, where we live, some of us live.
Reality-based world, but the Bush administration does adhere to fantasy-based world, and they hold this up as a great honor.
Well, that's what I was saying. here in the world in which we all kind of must live, spreading deserts and dust storms put millions in peril. See, this capitalist model that is so promoted in the U.S. and the U.K. has a nasty side effect, which is global devastation to the environment.
That's not nice.
No. And so you've got this problem of desertification spreading everywhere, and they're talking about these huge dust storms blowing across the ocean. And they're also talking about millions and millions of refugees, you know,
climate refugees.
You know, this is a number. So, you know, the question is that since the U.S. is doing the most climate change damage, are they the ones who are going to open their borders up to the most refugees, climate refugees? I suppose they will, right? They're fair. It's a democracy. It's fair. They have a sense of fair play. So when 30 million refugees show up that because of climate change, they lost their homes, the U.S. will open them with open arms. They made the big Statue of Liberty. Give us your tired, your poor, your climate refugees. That's what it says at the base of the Statue of Liberty. Give us your climate refugees.
No wonder they close it off to us. They don't want us to know about
this. That's what it really says. Read the fine print.
That sounds like it should be a Red Hot Chili Peppers song, though. Remember that song, Californication?
Don't sing. Sing on this show.
I forgot you don't like me singing.
It's a little early in the morning for me. Well, now, speaking of also climate change, the U.S. defends their G8 climate change stance, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And apparently there's a memo leaked.
Another one.
Yeah, another leaked memo. And the U.S. had a plan, actually, to go to the G8 meeting with Tony Blair is out there trying to get climate change in the mix.
Mm-hmm.
And the U.S. is actually, you know, they're passing memos back and forth like little 7-year-old schoolgirls with little strategies to defeat any climate change initiative.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got like Donald Rumsfeld in his little dress and George Bush, and they're all dressed up in their little girly outfits and pocketbooks and having tea and playing with their Barbies. And they're passing notes back and forth like, how do we defy climate change? We're going to get the party. We're not going to ignore Tony Blair. And we're not going to do the climate change thing. We're not going to invite them to our party. And, you know, they're just like little girls, you know, like having I have nothing against little girls. I mean, they're free to have their little tea parties, and they don't have much on their mind, really. I mean, they're living a bit of a fantasy world. But when you have the leaders of
the so-called industrialized world,
the biggest country, the biggest producing waste country in the world, mm-hmm. acting like these little 7-year-old girls at a tea party, passing notes back and forth about how they're going to not invite the boy to their little party, you know, their little easy bake party.
I think they're passing gas. Passing gas.
That's right. It's revolting, really. It's a shame. It's a shame to be have an American passport.
Yeah. Also, apparently, Bush's good intentions get slashed. Apparently, last week, a House subcommittee recommended having the president's $3 billion request for the Millennium Challenge Corporation. You know, the people who are supposed, you know, Bob Geldof said, they're saving Africa.
Yeah.
Well, apparently they're slashing that budget.
Of course.
Of that $3 billion budget, only $400,000 has been spent in the last 4 years.
Yeah.
So,
and that was on condoms.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So there's where your money for Live 8 goes, okay?
Mm. Wow. Thomas Friedman, what the hell? What's that?
I knew that was going to happen. Thomas Friedman, we're going to talk about him tomorrow, the first day of summer tomorrow, you know, and Thomas Friedman is what we're all about.
I guess that's it for us today. Well, we'll see you tomorrow. Have a good day. And
that
remember,
was, Max is in a bit of a shock about the end of the show.
That was a sentence interruptus. Bye, y'all.
See ya.